afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch. Hey, Fetch.
Quiet, quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Echan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary from Riyadh. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, April the 30th. Wow, it's April the 30th already. Anyways, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good early morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Now, this is the worst time of year weather-wise to be in Riyadh. It is the time of rising temperatures. The wind starts to pick up, and that means you have tons of dirty air to breathe, lots of dust out there, and that was kind of the case today. In fact, it was a very bad case of that. It wasn't what you would call a dust storm. It's just this very, very dirty, dusty air. And it does cut down on the visibility. So I remember going to the office today, and as I turned this corner, normally you can see all the way down to this particular street, but today there was so much dust really in the air that you couldn't actually see all the way down, which may be about a mile away. So it was very, I guess, visibility was cut down to, let's say, less than a mile, something like that. Maybe it was longer than that, but on this particular street, it was just so much dust you couldn't see very far. But anyways, it is what it is. It's that time of year. Currently, we're sitting at 78 degrees, though, and winds are blowing at around 12 miles per hour coming out of the north-northeast, which means that if I open my window, which I actually have, you can get some of that cooler air into the house. And, of course, what I'm hoping for is that's not accompanied by a tidal wave of dust. But we shall see in the morning. Maybe everything's going to be just covered. Actually, it already is covered in dust. Anyways, our overnight lows are going to be expected to get down to 72 degrees in the hour before sunrise. And we are expected to hit the century mark tomorrow. And, in fact, starting sometime next week, we are going to be going into a very extended period of 100-degree weather, and that means maybe springtime is pretty much over as we start to shift into that fall season. Of course, tomorrow, I guess, is May Day, isn't it? So I don't know what's happening in the states. Maybe some states are going to be trying to open. I haven't really followed too much on the coronavirus thing because following our own issues here in the Middle East, quite frankly, and then back home for me, at least in the Philippines. I'll just give you an update here. We're currently, effective Tuesday, curfews were changed. That's due to the month of Ramadan, which is their month of fasting. So everybody starts at 9. They must be back in their homes by 5. However, the neighborhood restrictions have been removed, so we are now able to get out and about around the city of Riyadh once again. This state is going to continue from what they call Ramadan 5, because their months are basically lunar here. So Ramadan 5, which is, I believe, Tuesday, and that's going to go out through Ramadan 20, which is, I guess, what, 14, 15 days. And then we will see what happens. Now, the current conditions is only out through 15 days from, I think, Tuesday. So we don't know whether they're going to shut it back down, whether they're going to open it more. We don't know. The condition is only out through Tuesday. Or I'm sorry, not through Tuesday, through 15 days. Air routes, of course, are continuing. Air routes continue to be locked down. You're not able to get in and out of Riyadh. You're not able to get in and out of any of the cities here. Essentially, all the cities are isolated. So if you want to get out of Riyadh, that's not possible. If you want to get out of Jeddah, that's not possible. And you cannot even fly. Even domestic flights are currently temporarily suspended. So everybody is still stuck in the cities where they found themselves, of course, when these particular lockdowns took place. There was some news coming out of Spain. Spain looks like they're starting to open up a little bit. Of course, we should be opening, quite frankly, everywhere, based on the information, at least if the virus, of course, I maintain that different viruses are affecting different parts of the world. I don't think this is a single virus. We don't have any evidence of that, but I just don't trust the people, the deep state, if you want to call it that, whoever put this thing out there. I don't think it is a natural occurring event. So whatever is happening here in Saudi may not actually be what you're experiencing in the United States. I suspect, wow, somebody's calling early already. Okay, I'll go ahead and take that call, I guess. Let's see, calling from the 210 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the iLive Primetime.
How you doing, Fetch? It's Bruce.
Bruce, you're early all the time. How you doing, man?
Yeah, Bruce in Texas.
Yes.
Oh, I call a little bit early. I hope I didn't interrupt your monologue there.
Okay.
You wanted me to call back later.
No, just go ahead. You're already on now. Let's move it. Let's go.
Super duper. Yeah, let's go. I don't know how, you know, we're kind of old school, I guess you could say. And When I grew up, I got a big distaste for bullies. And that continues on to this day. And I consider you somewhat of a friend, you know, as much of like a show host friend or something like that. You're very cordial with your callers and your guests. And then you also had the courage to say things that most people are afraid to.
Okay.
And so
thank
when
you.
Someone bullies you, I kind of stood up for you, and I'm very proud that you didn't weasel down like it seems to be the habit today that people just kind of like avoid confrontation, that you stood up for yourself. And so I'm proud of you, and I hope that you continue on.
I think you might want to put that in,
get that out of the way.
You might want to put that in context. What exactly are you referring to?
Well, I'm talking about your issue with the that website that you've been associated with that I've been visiting for about 5 years.
Yeah, it was a difficult situation.
Get this stuff together.
No, it was a difficult situation. Obviously, it has calmed down quite a bit. We'll get into that issue really next, bottom of the hour. I'll address that issue. We want to talk about other things now. But, yeah, I appreciate it because, I didn't like the way it was happening over there either. And so, no, I don't back down off of that. It's unfortunate what happened with that website. They have now cleaned it up quite a bit since this went down, which is good on them. And, of course, we'll go ahead and talk about that bottom of the hour.
Right. Okay, I'll let you continue.
All
on.
Right. Thanks, Bruce. That's Bruce in Texas, everybody. He's talking about the flare-up where we had the troll tag team operating over at Mammy's Shit. That's what it's called, grism.blogspot.com, which has been really our distributor since 2012. I don't know if you guys know, but we are one of the original shows over there. We used to do, I remember when we were first starting over there, we were excited when we got 110, 120 downloads. That was big back then. It eventually grew up to over 3,200, 3,400 until we had a few guests on that seemed to, for some reason, crash our numbers almost 70%. And then we built it back up. It crashed again by 70%. And so it is what it is. But they've been carrying us for a long time. It was disappointing to see what happened there. But we'll deal with that issue again, bottom of the hour. I want to go back to the coronavirus issue. You know, we were talking about the issue of opening up our countries. You know what we're learning now? Well, first, let me go back. First, Spain's going to open up. Their beaches are opening. Things of this are opening. We have a lot of mayors inside of America who, not mayors, but governors, don't want to open. A lot of us are looking at this as a form of civil war, blue state versus red state. And, of course, as far as I'm concerned, being a red state or more of a Republican-minded person, I'm certainly not a communist, socialist, Bolshevik by any stretch of the imagination. I am all for doing what we can to isolate those states, destroy those states, destroy those governments, destroy the people inside the governments, destroy their pension plans, completely take these states down, because most of these states are the ones where you will find the sanctuary cities, where you will find the most onerous anti-constitution lockdowns. In fact, this is criminal, seditious by a lot of these people who are running these governments. So I am a hardcore on this. I think that we should absolutely smash those states. To the police forces who are enforcing these things, if I had my way, you're lucky I'm not there, because your pension is gone, dude. If you're engaged in anti-constitutional efforts in the United States, and you're out there arresting people for having your daughter play next door because you want her to just go out and play with her friends, and you cops are showing up, and I don't know if you saw this, I don't know if it was in Kansas or I don't know where this place was, but there was a video floating of two cops showing up. Maybe it was Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin. But these two cops showing up basically to harass a mother because her daughter is playing next door. To those cops, seriously, 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 I would want to see your entire department destroyed. I want to make sure your pension is absolutely wiped out. You are not our hero. You are not our friend. You are an enemy of the American people, and the American people should not be rewarding you financially. You're out there collecting a paycheck literally to harass the American people, and you think you're a do-gooder? Dude, why don't you go down to South Central or something and get shot or something? I don't care. But get out of our faces. Seriously, this type of behavior should not be tolerated. They're really, really thinking forward, guys. We now know that coronavirus, if you want to call it that, or COVID-19, it was a massive fraud, a huge fraud. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, I want to just get you up to date on me personally, what's happening here. Aside from the issues with the radio show, you know, my contract here actually ends today. That's right, it ends today. Now, the university where I work, they just finished getting me the information I needed tonight. So I've got a couple more days to go to finish some of the paperwork to get everything done, and then the contract is basically done. So now I am in a foreign country without a contract, sitting here not knowing how to handle things. Now, don't worry for me, because quite frankly, I know what I do and everything is under control. However, for a lot, if you can imagine, you multiply this by 4,000, 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 teachers maybe. I don't think it's that much, but I would say it's probably in the realm of 2,000 expatriate teachers in this country, ones that they want to bring in to do what we do. I feel for them. I know a lot of the UK people have been working with their government to get out. I was sent the message from the UK ambassador. I guess I could play it if I pulled it up. Maybe I can play it in the second hour. But the UK ambassador sent out a message similar to what the U.S. ambassador did here. So I didn't go through the whole thing because it's a British issue. I just didn't bother with it. But I did know somebody sent it to me just for reference. But just imagine the stress that a lot of people have. You're away from home. Again, you're away from home. There's no way to get home. You are in a foreign country. Your income now has stopped. Again, most of us are not here to be illegal citizens or illegal type of people. We prefer and will only come, quite frankly, as legitimate legal purpose. That's that, because we're good people. We're solid citizens. We're not interested in flaunting laws, flaunting rules, anything like that. We come to do a service. We are paid well for that service. We do the best we can as professionals in our field. And that's as it should be. Always do your best in a professional manner. That is, again, how it should be. But if you can imagine now, because of what is literally becoming political, political fraud across the world, and especially in the West, because that's who we concern ourselves with. We as Westerners should concern ourselves with our countries. We're looking at political fraud. We're looking at medical fraud. We're looking at corporate fraud. This is a huge, massive fraud being perpetrated on the American people. And there's no other way to look about that. Going over to the Philippines, they are still under lockdown. They did not, apparently, maybe, just maybe, you know. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, I donated about 60 food packs. I sent some money in, and we broke it apart, got a little bit of labor from the family. We put together 60 food packs as relief aid to tide people up for another week or so, because they had extended this current situation out till May. Actually, it was extended out to April 30. Now it's May 15th. So we sent in this assistance. It was distributed. It was collected by the wife of one of the barangay captains. And then I know Emily went in, and she actually talked to the mayor. And they were going to shut down her city, basically a 24/7 lockdown. Nobody out of their houses. And Emily basically got into an argument with her, with this guy, and said, hey, you can't do that. I mean, first of all, people aren't prepared. What about medicine? What about people who need their, you know, their medicines? What about hospitals? What about people who don't even have enough food right now to go for 2 to 4 days? How are you going to, you just can't do that. And what the guys thought they were going to do is come on in, everybody gets some groceries, and then he's going to slam the door shut on everybody. Well, that didn't happen, which is a great thing. Whether Emily had something to do with arguing with the guy, I don't know. But again, that's what it takes. You got to be in the face of the politicians. We have to do what is right, of course. But you have to do your influence. Let these people know you're not happy. Let them know what you need done. Again, you have to address it. And if you don't get redressed, you need to get rid of them. That's how the system works, whether for better or worse. That's how it works. If the police are in your face, they need to be dealt with officially. And then if it gets into a chaos position, I'm talking about where there's actually chaos on the streets, you should have your names as much as the bad guys have your name equally. What do you think all this contact tracing and all this intel getting your names are for? Okay? Have your list. Everybody should have a list. Literally make a list. When you see a cop doing something, get their name, get their badge, and have it on a list. That's a seditious enemy of the American people. They need to be dealt with, not in... Anyways, I keep getting ahead of myself. Jeez, I'm just kind of ranting loosely here. Back to the Philippines. We're going to be opening up May 15th. At least the business categories that I am in. So basically, I have my little salon. It's going to be allowed to open May 15th. So it is going to open. This was announced yesterday. Or 2 days, perhaps 2 days ago. I think it was 2 days ago. So we're going to be opening. I think I'm going to start ginning things up about, I don't know, May 15, not May 15, May 10. Start bringing people in, getting the thing cleaned up, because I'm sure it's quite dirty, dusty, and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to get everything cleaned up and ready to go for May the 15 open. Now, here's an interesting thing that's going on out there. In the Philippines, they were very smart. Even though it's the lockdowns are kind of silly, but they were still smart. What they did is they froze both sides of the ledger. What I mean by that is if you're not having income, you should not be expected to have to pay either. In other words, if I don't have income from my business, I should not have to pay the rent on that business. I should not have to pay the telephones on that business, the internet, the electricity, not that any electricity is running right now. I should not have to pay anything. You, the government, shut me down. So therefore, all the expenses, income and expenses, should freeze just the way it should be. Everything should freeze across the entire chain, save for those businesses that you, in the political world, deem quote-unquote essential, which are basically your political lackeys who are giving you money. And then those would, of course, keep their cash flows coming in out as far as bills paid and income coming in. Well, that's not what we did in the West, because we are driven by basically stupid people. And part of the process, of course, are the banks, and the banks are a parasitic class. part of it is the fact that we are Jewish run. Jewish people, especially when it comes to elite, political elites, they have a huge, massive contempt for the American people. You aren't called deplorables for nothing. You aren't called non-essential for nothing. This isn't rooted in some necessary need to contain a virus. It's rooted in the fact that this is their political attitude towards you. You are not essential. Let's take Bezos, the Jewish guy, I guess, Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon, owns the New York Times. Well, guess what? He made something like $6 to $8 billion. In fact, quite a few Jewish oligarchs out there made many, many billions of dollars by locking you in your homes. What it did is it forced you to go shop at Jewish mainly run stores, Jewish mainly run operations that are massive corporations. And you know what's very silly about this? You know, you think, oh, this war on China, war on China. Again, if China is engaged in some type of war against the United States, I am all for doing what we can to obviously cut China off entirely. But here's the issue. One, we can't trust our deep state. Period. We just can't trust them. We just can't. So whatever they tell us, we can't trust. We have to see overwhelming evidence, and of course governments never ever release that evidence. Second issue is if you're only giving money to Walmarts and Costco's and Lowe's and all these other major, although Walmart's not a necessarily Jewish, but some of these others are definitely Jewish-run companies, well, guess what? You're giving out $350 billion. It's going to the American worker who goes to Lowe's, who goes to Home Depot, who goes to all these various other large corporations, which you're going to find a good percentage, most, not all, but certainly a very good percentage are Jewish run. And so what's happening? The money's still going to China anyways. You're still giving your money to China now because all sources of U.S. made and manufactured product is largely being blocked by these companies because they want high margin, low cost, high margin. They don't want high quality, low margin. So therefore, essentially this bailout, if it is being used for just shopping and goods, well, it's going to China anyway. So you're not going to benefit anywhere as far as the trade war goes. Next issue is the ledger. It makes sense that you would shut both sides of the ledger. If I am obviously having my income cut, I should have my expenses cut. Look, if you're going to block me, you block everybody. That's just common sense. Block the car payments, block everything. I know they blocked, I think, they blocked the student loans, which is good. They should block everything, though. They should block rents. They should block mortgages. They should block property tax, insurance, car insurance, health insurance. Maybe, yeah, block it. Screw it. Just block everything. And allow for this thing to settle. When you guys decide to open it up, the American people now can go ahead and get back to work. This way, all they have to worry about is their food for the month. Everything else, they don't have to worry about. Well, that's not how they did it. They kept everything open. Of course, what's happening now, a case in point is Airbnb. I used Airbnb. I went to the International Defense Expo, IDEX, in Abu Dhabi about maybe a year ago now. Last March, I think it was. Was it last March? I think somewhere last March even. I'm losing track of time. But I went, and the only way, because IDEX is a massive gathering of businessmen, women in the defense industry from all over the world. You're talking 40, 50, 60,000 people coming in, I believe. And it was very difficult to get a rental at a decent enough price because we didn't make the decision to go until basically the last minute. So we went, we got the badges, we got the passes, we got all that. But what I did is I ended up staying at an Airbnb place. And this was what they would call a super host, I think they're called. So I went in, it was a nice little place. It wasn't all that great, but it's certainly nice. The price was comparatively good, and I was able to get a place, stayed for a couple days, and then flew back on home. Well, now Airbnb, they used to have weekly roughly 550,000 bookings a week across the entire value chain of Airbnb. And that held up pretty firm until about February, third week of February. And then as we started to get into March, it actually peaked third week of February. And then getting into March, we saw everything drop. March became 450,000, then 350,000, then 325. Then we go into late March, we're down to, 325. April, so far, we're at 200 to 250,000. So far to date, week three of April was only about 80,000 bookings on Airbnb. Well, if you can imagine, if you're not freezing both sides of the ledger and you are telling people that you have to still pay, but the government has shut all the travel down, well, what's going to happen to all those people? Not all these people are rich. A lot of these people are, quote unquote, real estate investors. They buy property. They've got a good formula. They leverage themselves. There's nothing wrong with being leveraged if you're paying the bills. And they've fixed these places up. They made them very nice. And what they've done is gone out and tried to get clients through the Airbnb platform, and they service the public. They do compete in some cases with the hotels. Again, I'm not saying that every place in Airbnb is good. I'm not advertising for them, but it just gives you an idea how many. You know, there's a lot of people that have 10, 12, 14 properties, and they're going to lose everything. They're going to lose virtually everything if this thing goes on. And let's be honest, guys, air travel, even though you're going to open up your country, air travel isn't going to recover anytime soon. I was on the phone to one of our suppliers in France today. And he's saying, look, they don't know how they're going to certify us to be safe to travel. I'm like, you know, this is insane. They're going to try to certify you to be safe to travel in Europe. Anyways, it's The Fetch, everybody. April 30th, 2020. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour here. It's Thursday, April the 30th, 2020. And hope you're having a great Thursday afternoon. Hopefully you guys are going to be able to, actually, you know, in America, again, I was listening to a show just the other day, Nick Griffin with, on the Graham Hart Show. And he's saying the same thing I'm saying. Guys, don't go out by yourself. Get together in a pack of 20, 30 people. Go out there. Just get out and about. And if you're really, really smart and organized, get another 20 to 40 people in backup behind the scenes. So if you are confronted by the police, there should be some type of call to surround those police and basically give the police hell. They don't have a right to stop you from exercising your constitutional rights. Bottom line. That is the bottom line. They do not have the right to infringe upon your constitutional rights. In fact, somebody should come and arrest those police if they are harassing you, essentially for sedition, if we have to do that. Again, we have to understand this is a very serious issue that these governments are trying to pull, not just over the American people, but throughout the West. Again, what you do in Saudi is their business. We're not going to involve ourselves in their laws, rules, or regulations. But in our countries, America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, France, Italy, the West, we must have our standards, and our standards we must stand firm to. Anyways, it's listener-sponsored and supported radio. It really does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running, and without your assistance, these things really don't happen. I would just like to say, matter-of-factly, that the studio has done a fantastic job. Again, we were complaining quite a bit going back, I don't know, October, November, December, January, February even. And it was really bad how it was operating here. We were holding it up as best we could. And very, very frustrating. But now the studio is working again like a charm. It's humming. It's the way it should be. Again, I have not, guys, at the studio. I know you're probably listening. I haven't tried yet to bring a guest onto the main channel here with me. Last time I did that, we would lose the studio background. I'm not faulting you for that. I'm just saying that's what would happen. And so we just can't, I'm just afraid to do that. I don't want to ruin what otherwise is working very, very well. So guys, if you want to continue to support the network, please feel free to do so, because obviously without your support, these things don't happen. We do want to make the announcement though. We have cut ties for now with grism.blogspot.com. They have been probably our largest distributor for years and years and years and years and years and years. And it's going to be a big hit for us, quite frankly, when it comes to listeners and downloads. Look, they're a site that pulls in, who knows, 6,000 page views a day. And we are losing that. It's a matter of principle. And really what it broke down to is, if you were following the drama last week, essentially you had two admins there that were troll tag teaming me. And it was very obvious. Now, if you can imagine, you say something they don't like, you respond back, and then it blows up into a troll tag team scenario. Obviously, Fetch isn't going to stand by and let that happen. I can't stand trolls. And if you're going to troll something like my show, well, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to put up with it. So it basically got so bad. They were using basically me as a punching boy. They were trying to bully me into silence, as Bruce was saying. And obviously, I'm not going to go away. Look, it's my show. You're distributing my show. Yes, I appreciate the work you do, but at the same time, you've got two trolls, tag team trolling me, essentially trying to bemean me in every little way they can. And quite frankly, it's pointless. It's stupid. So we told everybody, just take the stuff down. We told the Grism's, the admins, take my show down. If this is the way you're going to treat me, take my show down. And they refused. I think I asked about 20 times for them to take last week's show down, Thursday's show, and they absolutely refused. And I just didn't understand why you would refuse to take a show down. You know, it's not your show, just take it down. Well, eventually they said, we're not going to take my show down. So I said, okay, yes, you are. So it was only after about 20 times asking, kind of like, guys, take it down. Look, I want the drama to stop. Take it down. So I sent a message to Zapopper on the email. I said, look, dude, you know, obviously you're not going to take it. So consider this like a DMCA. And they're like, so now they're on the boards over there. Fetch is, talking about threatening Zap. No, this was never a threat. You know, this is from one of their admins again. They got like, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. Taz, you should stick your nose and go back in the kitchen or something. Keep your nose out of my business. Seriously, get your nose out of my business, quite frankly, if you're going to talk like this. She's calling me a crack whore. It's like, you know what? You guys just don't seem to learn. You know, you just don't seem to learn over there. Again, it wasn't a threat. It wasn't an official notice. It was basically, look, I want the show down. I want the drama of your tag troll team to end over at Zapopper's, or not Zapopper, Grism's, and just finish it. I've never had a problem, obviously, with Zapopper. Zapopper's done a wonderful job for us all these years. Nobody's threatening Zap. This is all, again, more disinformation being put out by the people over at Mammy. So for now, just know that there is no distribution of Inside the Eye Live there. I don't think they're going to bring it back anytime soon. So what we're saying, if you want to hear the shows and get this spread around, again, we have a unique show, but we don't have this massive internet presence. I do have a daytime job, and it's not what I do 24/7. So what you can do is go to castboxfm.com. Or no, castbox.fm. That's castbox.fm. And that is an Android application. If you want to put that on your phone, you would then search for Inside the Eye Live. Again, castbox.fm, you search for Inside the Eye Live. And what that will do is it will pull up both the Inside the Eye Live and the Inside the Eye Live primetime show. And that will then be populated reasonably soon after every show. We've been doing that forever, and we will continue to do that. So you can catch the show there. That's number one option. Number two option is, once it goes into CastBox, we have an audio player on the right-hand sidebar of InsideTheEyeLive.com. Again, there's an audio player on the right-hand sidebar of InsideTheEyeLive.com. RiotCast.com. And you can listen to the last 10 shows there, because I think we have like 10. We have up to the 10 last plays or shows of each. Now, I break out Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime. They're two unique different shows. So you can actually go there and you can listen there. It will appear on your phone if you go to InsideTheEyeLive.com. And then, of course, we continue to always post a show wrap-up page. The audio file is embedded there into an HTML5 file. Basically, we copy the link, it generates the player, and you can hear it then inside of the show wrap-up page at InsideTheEyeLive.com. Those are the three ways, or you can visit Hooli'sBlog.blogspot.com. That's Hooli'sBlog.blogspot.com. And I believe Hooli's is still carrying the show over there, and he also aggregates. Now, what happened this weekend was unfortunate, but again, if you're going to tag team troll probably your number one show in your distribution chain, that's just stupid, guys. And again, remember, these two admins represent that site. And again, tag troll teaming to harass basically your number one show on your site, or at least if not number one, close to number one. Okay. Certainly top three, probably top two. Then that's your own fault. You know, I can't deal with idiots. I just don't have patience for it. And Zap, you should know that. I don't have patience for these type of people. I'm not going to put up with it. I don't care. Quite frankly, you don't need, if that's the attitude there. Now, what happened though, those two people are gone. So again, they erased all of their trolling stuff. The Grism site is back to being smart, rational, clean. So, again, they're not going to carry me, but if you want to go back, it's back to being normal. Go check them out. It's still a great site for getting a lot of different shows in this genre. And now you're not going to be potentially harassed by what was known to be a tag troll team. One of those guys was Jewish, actually. And again, that's what happens when you allow Jews into your network. You're going to have problems. And if he wasn't Jewish, you're going to have to ask him why he sounds like he's an ADL plant. That's something you'll have to ask that troll if you ever catch up with him. And then we found other sites that are saying basically, start a troll campaign against Inside the Eye Live. We found that released on some obscure site, some bulletin board saying, let's start a troll campaign against Fetch's show. So again, what would happen over there was very dirty. And it wasn't Zap, it wasn't Mammy's, but it certainly was these two people. And that is now finished. We are done with it. We're going to be moving on. So again, the main thing, if you want to hear the show in the archive, castbox.fm. Search for Inside the Eye Live, right-hand sidebar, which will have it generally within the same time, but it's always Castbox first. And then you can go to the, what do you call it, to the show wrap-up page. And if you can figure out, there's also an archive position out there, equally archive.org. So those are the ways you're going to be able to catch Inside the Eye Live moving forward. We'll see what happens with the numbers. Obviously, Grism's was a huge site. So we're going to lose probably a decent amount of numbers to start with. It will slowly recover, and we're just going to keep moving without all the stress and the headache of knowing that you're being sent to get harassed, basically, which was the case up until this weekend over at Mammy's. That's now finished, by the way. It's okay now. They did clean it up. I think these two guys resigned. So that's the drama. That is it. I think we're going to drop it from here and leave it. Again, just want to say one more thing to Tez. Tez, again, leave your crack whore comments. Go back to the kitchen. I do read everything. You don't know what's happening. Again, this is typical. You want to impinge upon my credibility. You know, I've heard a lot of things over at Mammy's lately. I'm a pretty strange guy, apparently. It's okay. That's okay. You're going to have to take the heat. I'm not nothing like Donald Trump has to take, right? You know, I've been called everything from a Trump-tard to a Saudi military advisor to all kinds of things over there lately. So it's been rather interesting, and that's good. At least they're thinking about me, I guess, since being in the media. That's a good thing. All right, so that's it. Now, if you want to join us in the chat room, I'm actually kind of there, kind of, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Let's see if what's happening there. InsideTheEyeLive.com. Yeah, 17 people are in there now. It's quiet. I don't see any trolls going on. Which is good. Guys, just be warned, you may get trolled over the next few weeks. If you do, just ping me quietly, let me know, and we will absolutely get rid of these trolls immediately. But there was a word put out to troll you guys in the chat room. So just, yes, it was James Millerman, if you want to, yes. Is Tez a man or a woman? I don't know. He acts like he's maybe a woman. Anyways, guys, that's it. That's basically it. What else? What else is news? Telephone lines, 323-275-1314. That's 323-275-1314. And so, let me cut this phone off. Okay, hopefully she's not calling back. Sorry about that. Just want to not have my phone ringing in the background. Let's see, the ITEL Cat Report, it's proudly sponsored by the Graham Hart Show with Breiser, and you can actually catch that show over at Mammy's, grism.blogspot.com. They air every Monday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. They had a great show this week with Nick Griffin. I listened to probably about 40% of that. I had some phone calls to do, so sorry about that, Graham. I had to cut away. But what I heard, excellent, excellent stuff. But anyways, and again, you can catch it at grism.blogspot.com. I know they were thinking of shutting down their show. They had a little snafu at the end. I'm going to shut it. No, I'm not. So they're going to continue on for the time being. So be sure to check them out over there. And, you know, so you can catch it. The cat report this week is kind of interesting. We've got, again, now 13 cats. Is it 13 or 12? I don't know. I have to go call. It's either 12 or 13. And what happened was the babies are now eating. That means once they start eating, they have to start using the litter box. They now got to be trained for litter boxes. Guys, if you've ever had cats, you know all about that. But the interesting thing is all about Ming Ming. Ming Ming is a beautiful tabby, but she's got very thick hair. And she's not really made for a hot, humid place like the Philippines. So she's constantly panting. She's constantly hot. And now what she has learned to do is when she wants a shower, you go, she actually goes and hangs out right inside the bathroom. She goes into the bathroom, or if Emily's taking a shower, if she wants a shower, she will then come into the shower, into the bathroom, so she can also take a shower. She's actually figured out now that showers keep her cool, apparently. So she actually likes to take a shower sometimes twice a day, just to cool off. So it's very, very interesting. You know, you'll see her literally sitting right next to the door to the bathroom. And then if you say, do you want a shower? She'll perk up her ears and kind of like say, yeah, that sounds like pretty good to me. So we have a cat now that actually loves to have a shower. And there you have it. And of course, when it's hot, who wouldn't want a shower? So Ming Ming is a smart cat, I guess. She's a good mother. Kittens are all doing well. You know, if you've noticed, if you talked about Jordan, you know, how many times over the years did we talk about losing kittens? And, you know, the kittens all died. We had one time 13 kittens and they all died. It's like something blew through and everybody died. And, but whoever thought in the Philippines, it's much different. We haven't lost a kitten yet. 100% of the kittens are alive. We have not lost a single cat yet. So we're up to 13. I am going to send money to get them fixed, though. I cannot afford to continue to have so many cats. Somebody put in the chat room, if you have 33 cats, that's a problem. Yes, that indeed would be a problem. Anyways, that's the ITEL Cat Report. It's proudly sponsored again by the Graham Hart Show with Breiser. Again, you can check that out every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And again, it's available at grism.blogspot.com. And check it out. They had a great show this past week. And they generally do put on a very, very good show. So check out their show again every Monday from 5 to 10 p.m. at grism.blogspot.com.
Oi, Gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oi, Vey!
Oi, Vey!
Oi, Vey, everybody!
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oi, Vey!
Oi, Vey, everybody!
Oi, Vey!
Oive Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey Moment, we're going to go out to New York, where essentially, as we all know, New York is a Jewish-run town. It's no secret that a Jewish-run town has the most deaths of any town in the world when it comes to the COVID-19, and that should be expected because conspiracy, all things conspiracy aside, you just can't trust a Jewish-run country. You can't trust a Jewish-run administration. And so the fact that you have so many deaths in New York, quite frankly, is attributed to the fact that it is largely Jewish-run. That's what I would call it. In fact, it's very disturbing going back to New York, because we have a lot of reports coming out of nurses saying that they're absolutely killing people. You had some type of Honduran woman purportedly calling her husband back in the Honduras, saying that everybody in her floor were basically killed, given some type of injection and killed. And she also was killed. She was screaming and crying that she had been just given the shot and she's going to be dead because everybody else. And then she apparently did die. So basically you have essentially rumors of murder, mass murder, going on in these hospitals in New York, and we should not assume that that's not actually happening. It's a Jewish-run town. So I don't trust them. Again, I would not trust Jews for any – I just wouldn't trust them. But late Tuesday night this week, New York City's mayor, Bill de Blasio, tweeted about the city's Jewish community following a funeral in Williamsburg. Local Jewish people had gathered to mourn in large numbers but were wearing masks, isn't that great, and had actually received pre-approval from de Blasio's own government. Apparently, pre-approval isn't approval. So he went on to say this: "My message to the Jewish community and all communities is this simple. The time for warnings has passed." Doesn't that sound Jewish to you? Very arrogant, very totalitarian, very bullying. I'm the boss. I'm the Jew. Shut up, sit down, and do what I tell you to do. That's essentially the attitude here. And if you guys can't see that, I'm sorry. He goes on to say, "I have instructed the New York PD to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups." I didn't know that, again, the Constitution was suspended just because of a pandemic. I didn't read that anywhere. Again, it's not. Technically, it's not. It's not up to this mayor. And I don't care in this case if it's Jewish community or a Polish community or any community. It is not up for this mayor to cut that back on people's rights. Now, he did go after, in this case, the Jewish community. He said here, "This is about stopping this disease and saving lives, period." No, saving lives is nothing but Jew speak for control, for basically totalitarian control. You ain't saving crap. One quarter of the people inside of your city, de Blasio, have already had the coronavirus. They already have the antibodies, if some of these tests are to believe, which means that all that you've been doing and wasting time and crying and bitching and moaning, "Oh, we need this, we need that, give us more ventilators, please, we need help, we need help. Oh, we're being overrun, send a ship, oh my God, build us a hospital," is all just a bunch of garbage. Let's call it maybe, just maybe, an exercise to see if it can actually get done. But again, it's not about saving lives. This is about totalitarian control. This is about suspending the Constitution by literally mayors. Can you imagine a mayor of a city? is declaring what people can and can't do. Again, this mayor de Blasio should be arrested. He should be tried for sedition and, if necessary, hung. That's right, hung for sedition. If anybody died because of his actions, that's capital punishment, isn't it? If he's destroyed all of these people and people have lost their lives, shouldn't he be held personally responsible for his decisions? Absolutely he should. So again, Mr. de Blasio should be sent a very stern warning. Very clear. This is about our constitutional rights, and any type of attempt to neuter our constitutional rights will be met with force equally. And that's where this is headed if they don't turn this thing around very, very fast. Because quite frankly, that's what this is all about now. It's plain as day to anybody paying attention that this isn't about, quote unquote, stopping a virus. It has nothing to do with that. It says here, this funeral was originally approved and actually organized by at NYPD News, whatever that is, 2 hours before it started. PD brought trucks with barriers, tower lights to close off the Bedford Avenue and the surrounding area. It's the New York City Mayor's Department who originally approved it before deciding to take it back. That is according to this particular headquarters. Now, the mayor not only targeted the Jewish community specifically, it says, but threatened them with arrest. Well, okay. There are approximately 12 million Jews in New York City. New York City has 12 million people. So you tell me whether that's actually, oh, I'm sorry, it's 1.2, I can't see. So basically, yeah, Jews make up 10% of New York, and you can imagine they don't work. They're on the government dole somewhere. So it says here, Mr. de Blasio's tweet is not only anti-Semitic, so you can't tell Jews what to do, but possibly unconstitutional, particularly if he follows through. Well, absolutely, it is unconstitutional. Whether or not it's anti-Semitic, who cares in this case, you nutcases? It's not about you, it's about our constitution that you Jews happen to benefit from. Because you Jews would never live under something like this. You Jews don't believe in equality, fairness, and the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You guys don't believe in that. You believe in totalitarianism. This is all good except for when you guys are targeted, right? That's how I would read this. Now, First Liberty, it's a legal organization in Texas that specializes in religious freedom, immediately offered its expertise and guidance to the New York Police Department should they object to following an order that would violate an entire Jewish community's right to free exercise and free speech during a time of mourning. Well, that's what we should have, though, everywhere. Again, we should be essentially making it to where police are not being idiots and not following through on these dictatorial type of statements and rules by these various judges, mayors, governors, etc. Police need to be the front line in our defense, not the front line in the destruction of the United States of America. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is indeed the Fetch. It is Inside the Eye Live Primetime. You know, it was a tough weekend for us here, a little bit, with what happened over at Mammy's and Grism's. But I'll tell you what, we have, and if you haven't been there, and if you can get inside and make yourself at home and get along with everybody, we have probably one of the best chat rooms, I think, going out there. A lot of intelligent people. A lot of you guys can be crazy sometimes, but that's okay. We all are, and that's just the way it goes. It's humming right now. It's actually humming right along. Humming is over 20 people. Buzzing would be over 30 people. I'm trying to shut this thing down here. There it is. There you go. Shut that down. Anyways, it would be over 30 people, and we are humming along right now, so that's a good thing. Again, you know, one thing about this show, guys, you know, over the years, we know we've had a great run relative to being a live show. This is a live show, everybody. I mean, think about it. We've been doing this for what? 8 years? 8 years plus live shows, and it's a lot of effort going in over the years. It's morphed, it's changed, it's done all that, but we're still going strong, solid, all that kind of fun stuff. We do keep the telephone lines open, and of course, if you'd like to call, 323-275-1314, that's 1-323-275-1314, so we'd love to hear it if you want to give us a call. You know, I'll tell you what, you look at what's going out there. Oh, by the way, a chat room is at InsideTheEyeLive.com. InsideTheEyeLive.com, click on the live chat button that gets you in. And again, one last time here, and we'll do it again towards the end of the show. If you want to hear these shows moving forward, we recommend you visit InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can go to Hooli's blog.blogspot.com if you want an aggregation site and get other shows. Or you can subscribe at castbox.fm. That's castbox.fm. Search for Inside the Eye Live. You'll see both shows pop, add it to your library, and away you go. There you have it. So just that's how you can get the shows moving forward. Let's keep the numbers moving. Share the show, everybody. If you like what we're doing here, share it. It doesn't hurt, for sure. And I know a lot of you do, but keep sharing. Let's see. Where do we want to go with the show? First of all, fraud. I think we want to talk about fraud. And what we're talking about here is political fraud. And let me set the story up this way. Years and years and years ago, 1997, 98, 99, I was in the alternative, not alternative, in the food supplement industry, essentially for health food supplements. And in this, we're talking about the various tablets like St. John's wort or green tea extract or some other items in this vein, echinacea, zinc, vitamin C. And the way that industry worked back then is you basically had to run a bunch of tests to show some type of efficacy. You couldn't claim that it healed anything because that would be falling under the purvey of the FDA. But you could say that it supplements your health, and you had to have some type of research to back it up so that you could then go out and make an advertising claim and be able to back up that claim with some type of reference point, some type of research. Well, if you understand how that worked back then you would understand very clear what's happening today when it comes to this quote-unquote this COVID-19 crisis. Because what we find going on here is the same technique, the same formula. In other words, what they're doing, we are looking at a case of political fraud, economic fraud, which means corporate fraud, and medical fraud. Let's first look at the corporate fraud. Essentially, we are looking at a situation where we have a Tony Fauci, a Deborah Birx, a Bill Gates, the World Health Organization. The whole agenda is all about pushing vaccines. This is all an agenda to push vaccines by creating a crisis, by creating a panic, by scaring the bejesus out of certain people so they'll go along. And then they've got their internal players who will play the game, all so they can set the world into a crash course of vaccines. Now, in Chicago, they're already announcing that they already have the plans in place. They have the places where they will actually impose the vaccines. So those of you who live in Chicago or in the Illinois area, which is, again, a leftist Jewish state, and anything leftist is considered Jewish in my book, and right is pretty much Jew too, but leftist for sure. So they're already looking forward to this. Now, what this is essentially planned poisoning of the human race. At the front of this is Bill Gates. Bill Gates, he's not a scientist. He's not an epidemiologist. He's not particularly an engineer. He's nothing, but very rich. He's very, very, very rich. And he works with the World Health Organization and various groups out there to essentially create this illusion that he's going to save the world. Now, this guy paralyzed over 500,000 Indians when he took over the health board of the state of India. The country of India, he actually had his people. He wormed them in like a Tony Fauci, took it over, and in the run of about 14 to 17 years, he had left carnage of some 500,000 Indian people, children, paralyzed from his vaccines. This guy is a sick criminal. His father used to be head of Planned Parenthood. So his idea is all about culling the people, culling the undesirables, which in today's world is not called undesirable. It's called what? Non-essential. What this guy wants to do is cull the non-essentials. purportedly, I haven't seen the clip, but he was on a show just the other day. And when they talked about how the planetary, monetary, economic system had crashed, you could see him actually smiling about that. He's happy about that. This guy is an enemy of the people. And I'm talking about an evil enemy of the people. He thinks it's very funny that the world economic system has collapsed. Because it's not about healing the world. It's not about saving lives. It's about imposing for him a vaccine regimen that he can then implant various types of technology where he can have Microsoft do the tracking. And as he looks at it, he's going to make billions and billions and billions by controlling this whole scenario. So he's got Tony Fauci up there, World Health Organization, and quite a few others who are in on this scam. When you look at the added addition of corporate fraud, we had some doctors come out of Kern County in the United States. And they basically said, the facts, come on, we have like 7% of the people here in Kern County, and they're the largest testing facility in Kern County. 7% of the people here already have contracted and have some type of antibodies for the coronavirus or COVID-19. It's not nearly as deadly as they think. And then there's the common sense issues. Why is it that Walmart can be open, but somebody else's store can't? Why is it that such and such a coffee shop can't be open, but some other major chain can? What this is political favoritism. This is socialism. You want to understand what it's like to live in Venezuela under socialism? People like to talk, well, Venezuela is socialism. Well, now you know how it works. You have governments who declare what is okay and what's not okay, and they centrally plan the thing. And then they do it to support their political cronies. This is all about fraud. This is criminal fraud on a massive scale. And again, all of these people absolutely should be held accountable. From the mayors to the governors to the police, there should be no stone left unturned as we wind out this criminal, socialist, communist, communitarian, if you want to use that term equally, agenda. For instance, if you put a video up on YouTube and you have something that doesn't go along with the WHO, World Health Organization, Susan Wojcicki, Jewish, of course, she says she'll take it down. It goes against their standards. We only allow the WHO, World Health Organization. Since when did we, the American people, have to bow down to a foreign entity that we know is corrupt to the core and headed by essentially a former Ethiopian terrorist? And yet, Jewish people like Susan Wojcicki is in on this scam. So that's what I mean by it's a lot of corporate stuff involved, a lot of business involved in this corruption. It's not about saving lives. The science doesn't, it's a bad flu. But if you catch it, now we, as a human race, we're going to have to deal with it. It's out there. Is it going to disappear entirely? Maybe, but maybe it doesn't. Are you going to go ahead and shut down the entire world every time somebody sneezes wrong? I think in Maine, a state of what, 1.7 or something like that, it's not a big state. They have like 31 people in the hospital, and the governor's got the entire state shut down. You have 31 people in a hospital, and they've got the entire state shut down? Are you telling me this is about saving lives? It has nothing to do with saving lives. It has everything to do about power, control, and destroying the middle class, destroying the country. We should view these people as traitors, seditionists, whatever you want to call it. What else? The models. Remember the models? Everybody's scared of it. Oh, there could be 2.5 million dead Americans. Guys, this is, again, go back to the health food supplement industry. Echinacea, vitamin C, vitamin D, all this stuff, you know, not so much the vitamins, but I'm talking about the herbal supplements. You had to run some type of test, some type of models to show so that you could make a claim in your advertising. It's the same thing. So what do? They fund the labs to give them the talking points so they can then go to the media and use those labs to run the talking points. The talking points are predetermined. This is a calamity. Everybody's going to die. So what does this guy do? They go to a, what's this guy? what was this guy? Yeah, it was, let's see, expert, a supposed coronavirus expert, epidemiologist Neil Ferguson out of the UK. Again, he projected 2.2 million deaths. That was just in the United States. He projected 500,000 in the UK if extreme actions were not taken. Again, this guy's in on the fraud. This isn't about him making a mistake. This is about him being the talking point for the fraud. Again, if you look at what's happening inside of the various systems in play to impeach Donald Trump, for instance, they have this circle jerk of all these various items repeating the same phrases. I'm going to use this, and then I'm going to use this, and I'm going to use this. But it's a closed loop. There's no independence here. It's a closed loop. It's all predetermined. This Neil Ferguson should be arrested. American intelligence, I swear. American intelligence should go kidnap this guy and rendition him back to the United States. Try him and then shoot him. All right? That's what should happen to this guy. If you want to say you're at war with the hidden enemy, this guy should be arrested. He should be renditioned and disappeared. Again, this guy has caused so much turmoil across the world because he's the guy that was behind the initial projections. Should the people put up with that? Should the intelligence services put up with that? Should anybody out there put up with that? Of course not. Mr. Neil Ferguson is part of the political scam. He's part of the policy. He's sitting there saying, if you don't shut everything down, wow, look at this. See, look at my numbers, 2.8. Those numbers were bogus to begin with, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. After the first day, after he gets the UK locked down, what happens? He lowers his estimates from 500,000 down to 20,000. Gee, after he gets what he wants, maybe I made a mistake. No, this wasn't a mistake. This is criminal fraud. This is criminal fraud. And the politicians are using this to commit the fraud, to go out and harm the interests of the people. In fact, take away everybody's rights. He then makes a statement. He tries to cover up they're claiming he was his incompetence. He's not incompetent, guys. He should be seen as a willing actor in this great play. Now, the worst case of abuse for truth, besides the models being fraudulent, this is fraud. This is scientific fraud. This is fraud. He should be arrested and jailed for fraud. The harm he has contributed to the global economy, to the rights of the people of the world, this is no joke. Now we go over to Italy. 88%, they're saying, 88% of the alleged deaths due to coronavirus are actually being misattributed. 88%. In other words, 9 out of every 10 deaths in Italy stated as due to the coronavirus are likely false. Which means, again, this is political or medical fraud. We have the information of state boards saying, hey, look, put coronavirus down. We have information, at least circumstantial information, from a couple sources that the city of New York is killing people. Literally killing people. This is medical fraud. This is actually murdering people. This is manslaughter. We have hospitals with government policies committing mass murder against the people of not just the United States, but across the globe. So here it says, for more information about the Italian scam, there's a tunnel link. So I'm going to have to go look at that, and maybe we'll talk about it more Saturday. Now, of course, much of the economic damage is done, you know, and it's continuing on. See, people don't understand the supply lines are pretty much broken. They're pretty much broken. And if you're at war with the United States, and I maintain this is an actual war against the American people, against the United States herself, what is happening here is that the enemy controls our supply lines. What do you try to do when you're trying to bring an enemy to heel? You go after and you destroy their supply lines. So we should look at the governors and the mayors and the officials who are working overtime to ensure that our supply lines continue to be hampered or cut as part of the seditious, treasonous element in this silent war against this silent enemy. These are the plants inside. Look, if you want to talk every day about, we got to flatten the curve and we're not quite out of the woods yet and we're doing this to save lives, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing. The people should come out en masse and demand that governor step down immediately, or she or he will be taken out immediately. And that should go for the judges, police, etc. Right now, GDP in the country is estimated to have fallen so far by 35%. 35% in just the second quarter alone, or it may fall at 35% in the second quarter. That's April, May, June. Unemployment stands at 30%. Even when all these restrictions are going to be lifted, let's be honest, who's going to want to go to a hospital ever again if they don't have to? Because if you go to a hospital, what are they going to do? They're going to test you. And if you have coronavirus, they may kill you. That's the reality of it. They may make you a casualty just so they can keep their numbers high. The hospitals, not that the hospitals were good people anyways. They were basically crooks all along, and the AMA and the allopathic medicine and all of this has been a criminal fraud itself that's been perpetrated on the people for the last 100 years. Again, who would want to go though? I wouldn't trust going to a hospital if my life depended on it, because my life might depend on it, just because if they do something and test you, who knows what they're going to do to you? You can't trust them. You have to make sure you stay out of the hospitals. The hospitals are a killing ground right now, by all indications. Another threat that came out of this, corona vaccine, of course. They want to force it on the public. They're so stupid. They can't make a vaccine for this. It's a coronavirus. It's the common cold. You haven't been able to, if you can't solve it for the common cold, and if you can't call it for, if you can't craft a vaccine for H1N1 or all these other flus, which are all coronavirus-based, you ain't going to be able to do it here. And then another thing, they talk about this Remdesivir or something like that from Gilead Labs, which I believe is an Israeli company. Did you know that Fauci actually holds a patent on coronavirus that has an HIV? Apparently Fauci has a few patents equally that has some type of HIV tip to it. And Remdesivir is used to slow down AIDS. It's not used to heal the body of AIDS, just to slow it down, to kind of like keep it from replicating, not to get rid of it. So this whole thing about Remdesivir and Gilead Labs, again, it's all fraud. We know, and I believe it's 220 nanometers, okay? Ultraviolet light at 220 nanometers. Will actually kill the virus. Okay, fine. If you want to go out and kill viruses all day and you're that afraid, okay, go ahead and get some ultraviolet and you can go around and you can sanitize your whole house if you wanted. Okay? Let the free market work and you can do it. No problem, right? But the problem is that your immune system needs what? Your immune system needs germs so that it can constantly be building itself up. Once you start to put yourself into a sanitary situation, your immune system breaks down. So again, we're talking about more scientific fraud, more political fraud. This is like biology 101. So we are being told to stay in our houses based on idiots who don't even know biology 101. It's absolutely necessary for you to build your immune system. The only way you can do that is to be out and about. Then we understand that coronaviruses, and we've always known this, coronaviruses basically are destroyed by UV, which means it actually doesn't do well outside. So why would you be inside if the virus itself doesn't do well outside? This is, again, more political fraud. It's not about saving lives. It's about a political agenda. And that agenda, as we can all see where it leads, it leads you into absolute destruction of your country, destruction of your rights, destruction of your ability to even feed your family. And if they destroy the supply lines, if they destroyed the supply lines, it could lead to mass starvation. Then you ask, how did Jews do it in the 1930s? Well, now you're seeing how they did it. Now you're seeing how they did it. You know, in the state of Florida, they are they are fining you $500 a day for having a garden at home where you grow your own food? How can you tell me this is about saving lives? Again, who made this law? The absolute person. Who made it? Who wrote this law? Again, we just hear about the law. State of Florida is fine. But who wrote it? What name is a... Somebody wrote it. Some committee wrote it. Who wrote that law? See, it has to be bored down to this level of minutiae to avoid just being absolute massive chaos. Because massive chaos means a lot of innocent people die. But whoever wrote that law, whoever wrote it is guilty. That person should be absolutely taken out as a seditionist person to the United States. I don't care if you arrest them, but they need to be taken away from society. They're dangerous. They're dirty. They're violent. They want to put you into danger. You know, you go back to the 1940s when it was basically a white country, and we had victory gardens. We had very clear ideas as to what we would have to do if we wanted to basically support the effort. So many chickens, 2 chickens a day could feed 1 person with eggs. So much garden here could feed this many people, and everybody helped and pitched in and grew their own food. As a child growing up, I grew the family's tomatoes in the summertime. I grew the carrots. I grew the turnips. I grew some of these other vegetables that I probably wouldn't even eat, like the lettuces and the cabbages. But I grew it all the time. Now they want to say that's a criminal offense? This is tyranny, folks. This is socialism. This is Jewish communism. It's the Fetch. Back with more after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the first post-week. We're finishing up our first week of basically the new normal here at InsideTheEyeLive.com. I want to say once again, if you want to continue to listen to the shows out there on the archives, it will no longer, at least for our knowledge, I know they've cleaned up their act quite a bit over there the last couple days with their tag troll team, but the Mammy situation is not resolved. We don't expect it to resolve anytime soon, which is fine. So what you want to do is make your way over to CastBox.fm. That's CastBox.fm. And subscribe to the show. You'll get it all the time there. We've been doing that for some time, over a year, in fact. It's been there. A lot of the files, if you listen to the website, come from either there, or you can just check out InsideTheEyeLive.com. The shows will be posted within a couple of days relative to the show wrap-up page. But if you want the show pretty immediately, make sure you just get the CastBox application. You can put it on your phone, and you can listen through the phone. Or you can listen to the website, because the file is also available on the website. So don't worry too much. We're always going to be available, and we're always going to be free, which is, of course, an important thing. So we're going to continue to give our content for free. So, again, check it out, castbox.fm or insidetheeyelive.com. You can join us in the chat room, insidetheeyelive.com. Click on the live chat button. It's still not humming anymore. Still doing well, but it's not quite humming. We've lost a few of you. Fake War. Is Fake War here in the chat room? Fake War? I just want to say Fake War. Thank you very much for the support for Inside the Eye Live. You made a personal sponsorship. Thank you very much for that, Fake War. Appreciate it. A very Masonic number, Fake War. You didn't fool me, man. A nice $33 is a nice number there. So thank you so much for that, Fake War. Appreciate your support and personal sponsorship of Inside the Eye Live. All these funds do go to support just the operational expenses of Inside the Eye Live. We generally don't ask you for our private living expenses at all. So appreciate the support whenever these funds do come in. Let's see. Somebody put in the chat room, Mer Bailey, check this out. Hospitals get $750 if you die from the flu and $17,500 if you died from COVID-19. And she says, now think about that. See, this is what I mean by the political and the corporate fraud. Again, if it's $17,500, you're incentivizing basically people dying from COVID-19. And then if you're murdering people, you're getting paid $17,500 to essentially murder people inside your hospital. You telling me there's not any incentive to kill people inside the hospital? You don't have to feed them. You don't have to do anything. Just kill them. Put them on the ventilator, trash their lungs, basically use the ventilator to smash their lungs apart. They die in about a day. It's a very painful way to go, obviously, because you're getting your lungs completely smashed with overpressure on your ventilators. And guess what? Okay, $39,000 to put you on the ventilator and $17,500 basically to make sure you die. So $56,000 a head. Multiply that by 40,000 heads. You tell me there's not incentive here from these companies and these hospitals? Again, this is a massive, massive, massive criminal syndicate type of fraud here by some very evil people, starting with Tony Fauci. This guy's evil, man. Look into this guy's history. He allowed millions of people to die from the AIDS virus back in the early 1980s just so he can get a little bit of fame. That's the word going out about this guy. Maybe this woman making the claim is, telling a lie or not telling the truth entirely, but you just never know, right? Other news that's going on out there, you know, there's other things going on. One of those is Israel. Israel and the Jordanians, as you know, the Jordanians don't get along with the Israelis. The government does. King Abdullah does. King Abdullah is essentially a friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, from what I understand. But the countries don't get along. I remember many times if you were representing an Israeli product in Jordan, you would market yourself only covertly. You would put advertising out there. You wouldn't have your office open. You would see people first. If you could, you'd call them on the phone, make sure that you're not going to get whacked or something. And then you would agree to meet people if it was an Israeli product. The Jordanians don't have a high regard for the Jewish people, and understandably, they're not good people as a general rule. So you actually can understand why. Another issue is the peace agreement between the two countries. And what happened was you had a situation where Israel had occupied some certain territory from the Jordanians. And under this 1994 peace deal, Jordan had retained sovereignty over these particular areas along a territory called Bakura. And the U.S. military, or not the U.S., it might as well be, the Israeli military had infiltrated Jordan back in the 1950s and kind of took over this land. Now, as part of the 1994 agreement, Jordan agreed to lease both of these places to Israel for a renewable 24-year lease with a one-year notice period for either party to cancel the lease. The lease expired in November after Jordan's king notified Israel that it wanted to take back these two areas. So the Israelis have done the complete pullout. Bakura was one of the areas. Another one in Hebrew was called Nahar Yaim, something like that, and it was reclaimed in November. So basically now Israel has retreated from these areas. Jewish farmers were growing peppers. The Jordanians are a little bit more rational compared to Jews, so they actually allowed the farmers to stay on the land to finish the harvest and bring it to market, and then they took over the property. If it were Jews, they would have waited till the crops were in full bloom and ripe for pickings. They would have kicked the Jordanians out then, and then they would have kept everything for themselves. That's the difference between Jews and non-Jews, essentially. Another issue that's kind of interesting coming out is what's going on with the deep state. You're not hearing much about this too much, but you have a situation going on where the deep state, those who tried to really take over the United States after, really before and after the election, 2016 election, these guys, the Clappers and the Comeys and a lot of these Obama people, again, they were very, very nasty people. And what they tried to do was essentially take down the president. It was clear for all to see. But now, if you had heard the clip from Trump maybe a week ago, he said, hey, These FBI guys are human scum. And he's right about that. And here's what was said today with Jim Acosta somewhat chiming in to just ask about this question about what's going to happen now that we're starting to get these revelations as to just precisely how dirty Comey and I don't even know the Strzok, Peter Strzok, and the rest of these guys really were.
Let me ask you about General Flynn.
Yeah.
Are you going to pardon him? This is what you tweeted back in December 2017. I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. Yeah. Do you still believe that he lied to the vice president and the FBI?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, sure. When I looked at what they did to him, they tormented him. Dirty cops tormented General Flynn. General Flynn is a fine man, 35 years or so in the military. You don't get to be where he is by being bad, that I can tell you. And then he, right at the beginning of the administration, the dirty cops came in. And you see the notes, Jim. I mean, whether you're on our side, that side, whatever. I mean, I assume, let's all talk about fairness. What they did to General Flynn, and by the way, to Roger Stone and to others, was a disaster and a disgrace, and it should never be allowed to happen in this country again. And what I really hoped, because CNN tormented him, in all fairness, I really hope to see, because they haven't been doing it, and I appreciate your question, I hope to see that CNN will not even apologize, which they should, but just cover it fairly, because he's in the process of being exonerated. If you look at those notes from yesterday, that was total exoneration. These were dirty, filthy cops at the top of the FBI. And you know the names better than I do. And they were dishonest people. Now we have to see what's going to happen. But General Flynn was treated like nobody should. And I'm not talking about generals. I'm saying like nobody in this country should be treated.
So
and they did it right at the beginning.
Did you fire him at the time?
They did it right, Jim. They did it right. Well, look at what they did to the guy. I mean, he couldn't have known too much what was happening. They came at him with 15 buses, and he's standing in the middle of a highway. What they did to this man, they tormented him. They destroyed him. But he's going to come back, like I say, he's going to come back bigger and better. But what they did to him, and I hear there's a lot of other stuff coming out if I believe everything I'm reading, because I like to stay out of it. I don't have to stay out of it at all, but I like to stay out of it. And, Jim, what they did to him is terrible. And I hope that CNN's going to give him a fair shake and cover it, because I think it's very important. Yes.
So there you have it. That just came out today. The story's really been brewing now for a couple months. But this is really the hidden side of what's going on inside the United States. You know, we have in America what I guess you could call a deep state. And that deep state for a lot of us is linked in with the Israeli government. Of course, Trump is a part of that in many cases. But when you look at the Obamas and the McCabes and Comey and Strzok and I don't even know all of the names, Priestep and a few of these other guys, these guys are dirty beyond dirty. Imagine framing people just to get people out of the system. And a lot of us know that this is what goes on because, quite frankly, the same dirty cop techniques that we see being used against the Trumpster, you know, as you might want to call him, we see used against us equally when it comes to Jews framing us saying, you're an anti-Semite, you don't deserve to have a job anymore. It's the same technique, everybody. Coming to us from the 7088 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the iLife. Prime time.
Yeah, that was a good clip, Fetch. I'm glad you played that. You know, the whole Flynn thing, you know, first thing he's like, in that clip, Trump, he's like, you don't get to be that high up without, you know, if you're bad. Well, the point, well, actually, you know, we hear over and over is exactly the opposite. You don't get past a certain rank and you don't raise to the highest of these ranks if you didn't go along with the program that they were offering and were willing to go along with nefarious and even things that, you know. But Flynn, he was an outlier. He actually went against the grain when they were getting rid of everybody. And that's what Obama did. They were cutting the ranks all across the board. And I'm giving a briefing here. Other people know more about this than I do. And I'm just giving a cliff notes here, but they cut the ranks all across the board, got rid of all sorts of people. Even went after Flynn, they got rid of Flynn, and Flynn came back and under the Trump administration. He came in to help Trump campaign and so on and so forth because he had a lot of dirt. He knew about the Obamas. He knew about the ISIS. He knew about Hillary Clinton and all this other stuff. Under the Trump administration, they needed to get him out. They wanted to get him out before Trump got elected. And once Trump got elected, they went after Flynn. They were after his behind.
Real quick, can you imagine? I mean, just the mental picture Trump drew there. First of all, I agree with you. You're not going to get to be the top unless you are dirty. You have to go along with the political program. I actually agreed with you when I heard that. It's like, yeah, Trump, that's nice to say, but it's really not true. But can you imagine having, like, he talked about 15 buses. Can you imagine setting up some type of takedown on a public highway? Surround this guy with all these buses and agents piling out of buses to take him down? Can you imagine that happening?
Let me put a twist on what Trump said. You don't get to be in his situation like Flynn if you were bad. He was on the opposite side of the table in the courtroom if you were bad. if they're going after you after all these bogus charges and they're trying to prosecute you and put you in jail forever and call you, even the judge came out and said he committed treason, but a little bit later backwalked it, you know. But Here's the deal. Look, Flynn's going to be absolved. Flynn don't need a pardon because he's not guilty of anything. We all know the 302s are bogus. We all know the hatchet job. We all know they were after him. We all know the falsified evidence. Even his lawyers, which was I forget who they are, Hathaway or whatever it was, that Scott Bennett knows and whatever. Even his lawyers were letting Flynn go down and not getting the evidences and so on and so forth. But so now that they got Sidney Powell. License the Lie, she's author of that, plus another. Anyway, look, all this stuff's coming out. They're going to exonerate him. Flynn never needed a pardon. He's not getting a pardon. He's going to be exonerated. And then once these exonerations go on, this is the alleged part. Allegedly, some of these sealed indictments we hear so much about all these years is going to start getting released. But Flynn is like the finger in the dam. They had to get this Flynn case absolved and exposed and whatnot for all this the next level of things to happen.
Oh, interesting. I wasn't aware of all that, but I just found it very interesting. People have been telling me that, Fetch, things are breaking over here relative to the deep state. People are saying, hey, look, even the people are saying, you know, just in the chat rooms, you know, look, hey, you guys in the military, this is one of your guys. Look what the deep state did to one of your guys. When are you going to do something against the deep state? What are you waiting for, man? So,
you know what, according to Steve Pachenik at the time, when this all started going down and they started coming out on the news, Mike Pence is mad because allegedly he lied to Mike Pence. He didn't tell him everything that was on the phone call with the Russian ambassador Kislyak. Well, Steve Pachenik, and I cannot for the life of me find this clip, Fetch. I've been looking. I still can't find it. If anyone can find it, help me. But right at the same time that all this was going down, just before the firing, or as he was being fired or about to be fired, Pachenik says this. Kislyak and Flynn were comparing notes. They each had lists of the pedo criminals in the government and beyond of these pedo criminals, these traffickers and assailants and human, you know, against human rights and all this stuff. And one of the people on that list was a good friend of then Governor Mike Pence, who is the vice president of the United States now. And his friend's name came up, and that is what wasn't told. Because when they asked Flynn, what was said in the conversation, that was left out of the briefing to Pence or Pence's staff. And that's what they were mad about. That's the lie that Pence was ticked about. And that's when it all went and snowballed. Because technically, Flynn never lied about anything. It's all about you lied to the vice president. That's how it all started. You lied to the vice president. You need to tell everything that was said on a phone call. Well, that allegedly, according to Steve Pachenik, is the item that wasn't spoken about. Go ahead.
I don't know about that, so I can't go ahead. It just sounds interesting. I don't know about it. The way I see this is that this, besides being a Gates issue, you know, Gates is in it for his own self. but I have a hard time believing that Gates isn't tied in with this deep state issue and that somehow the pedophile stuff and this constant war that Trump does seem to be doing against these pedophile networks around the world aren't linked together, that this is an attempt by these people to essentially force the United States into penury so that we as a people are not even able to be bothered with these types of things.
Well, they're all in and out together. Look, Gates, like a lot of the others that we found out about, was hanging out with Epstein, going to Epstein Island, whatever. And Epstein, we found out also that you, people can start digging into this if they haven't already, that in New Mexico, they Epstein had the huge research center over there. They weren't just abusing and whatever. They were doing medical experiments and so on and so forth. They were doing all sorts of whatever, psychological, medical, whatever. Whatever they're trying to create. And often referred to as the, you know, trying to build the perfect, you know, what do they call it, eugenics and stuff, you know, where they're trying to build the perfect being, what they accuse Hitler and the Nazi race of doing. This is what they were actually doing over there. Now, this is what Gates and all them are involved with, because it wasn't just about, you know, the hurting and the assaulting and the slavery and the sacrifices and the adrenochrome. It was about medical research as well, taking the DNAs and so on and so forth. And they were doing a lot of mad scientist stuff, and Gates and all the rest of them are part of it. Now, when you want to talk about Fauci, and this is kind of primarily what I want to tune in on. When you talk about Fauci, Fauci is a fraud. He's fraud from the get-go. This guy is as dumb as a box of rocks when it actually comes down to research and science and whatever. The initial research he has and everything he has to do with HIV or anything else comes from stolen research. Now, there's this woman out there. Her name is Judy Mikovits, M-I-K-O-V-I-T-S. Now, just do a search engine on that and find her videos, her books. She's got two books. One release is called Plague 2014, and the other is now released in April 2020, Plague of Corruption. Now, it talks about Fauci, Burks, PEPFAR, whatever, and it gets in all the stuff, how research was stolen, the guys that did the initial research on AIDS, or HIV, rather, the viral strain and all that, was stolen from Fauci, and then Fauci took credit and blacklisted the other people, and then turned around and weaponized that. That's how we started the AIDS, HIV starting in Africa, and then spreading across the homosexual community, and getting mixed up with the blood supply, and then we had all the transfusions and everything, and this is how AIDS, HIV became an epidemic. And this guy weaponized, he's responsible for tens of thousands, if not millions of deaths because of this, and they love him for that. And this is the stuff that's why, you know, when you talk about HIV, coronavirus, or actually SARS and SARS-2, the gain of function there is the HIV strain. It's this HIV. It's the gain of function with the HIV, because it's immunodeficiency. It weakens the organs, and that's how it actually, the whatever they're doing, gets inside your organs, because it weakens your immune system. Correct. And that gain of function is actually enables everything, what the bad stuff, to penetrate into your system. Yeah. So that's the gain of function, whatever, and that's what the immune. That's what.
Yeah, and this is the one issue that. Yeah, that's the one thing nobody's talking about here. They just do not talk about in the media, the politicians. Nobody's raising this issue, but I know the Indians did their initial study. What, in December, January, they came up with this research and kind of revealed it. And it seems like when Trump went over, everybody backtracked. So it even sounds like Trump is in on this deal, quite frankly.
Well, this is where we're all. I mean, I don't know.
I know it's unfortunate.
What Trump is doing, because look, everyone you're seeing on those stage, Burks, Fauci, Gates, they're homicidal maniacs. That's what they are. They want to not only commit genocide, democide, you name it. They're whatever this next vaccine is that they're trying to create, and they allege they have it. They allege it's still going to take time. They allege they're rushing it and whatever else. Whatever it is, it's no good.
Yeah, now they're saying. No matter what, it all comes to no good. Now they're saying it's maybe ready by January.
Well, here's the kicker. Okay, I asked Judy Mikovits this question specifically. I said, so what's the deal? Where is this actually coming from? What is the adjuvant? What's going on with this COVID-19, whatever? She says that actually it goes back to 2015, where you actually hear about allegedly when they transferred the SARS, the original SARS, to the China lab. That was supposed to be in 2015, but they actually take that strain or a version of that strain, and they've been putting it. She suggested that perhaps in all these flu shots,
that people have been getting since 2015, that strain that they're talking about today has been being delivered to the public here and elsewhere around the world since 2015. So we had some major deadly flu season since 2015. Last year was supposed to be real deadly. The year before that was supposed to be real bad. And then this year, all of a sudden, it's calmed down. But we have COVID-19, which was replacing all the numbers for the flu. So basically, what she's suggesting is we've had this COVID-19 they're using as a narrative today here in the United States, getting delivered through vaccines or other methods of delivery injected into humans, into the population, since 2015, and this has been in our population. This is why people have had nasty sickness and bad flus and dying, pneumonia, you name it. And now they're just saying, oh, it's here now. It just happened, but it's been around. That's what the story is, and I am saying allegedly.
And, you know, it's a theory that in a case where everybody's rights are being taken away, certainly that should be investigated. 100%.
Well, how is it going to happen? There's well, you'd have out there. She's, you know.
Again, I mean, again, this is an issue that has to be done. I mean, that's what you have agents of government for. That's their function. Okay, here's the theory. Again, let's, you know, we don't have people in government that give a damn. Isolate these people. Steal their stuff under court order and test it. Start investigating and see what's going on. Or, you know, it's not that hard either, because there's so much of these so many of these virus, injections out there, you know. It wouldn't be hard to just get some samples and do the testing.
Right. So, overnight, fuel price over here went up 30 cents a gallon. Boom, just popped up. Boom. It was lowering and lowering and lowering. And all of a sudden it went up 30 cents a gallon. Okay. They got this glut of oil sitting off the coastlines everywhere. Second to that, I went into Menards today. First time I've been into Menards since all this stuff started. And, I was standing outside reading the signs. I didn't see anything about masks, but I seen everyone coming in and out with masks and whatever. So I had a little work rag with me just in case, you know, I needed it. And I get inside the store and it stops me. You got to wear a mask. See the first line here, got to wear a mask. So we're all, everyone's wearing a mask. We're all bandits, you know. We're all looking at cross-eyed and whatever. What's going on with these masks? Look, dude, you just breathe in oxygen, you breathe out CO2. You breathe in oxygen, you breathe out CO2. So now with these masks, we're breathing in CO2 constantly. Okay, imagine a healthy person will get a little worn down by doing that. Now you got people with actual lung issues and other issues and so on and so forth. They're going to, we're poisoning ourselves. So while we did have a viral infection, we're not getting fresh oxygen. We're actually recycling CO2 at this point. So what they're, I read all their suggestions are things that are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a guy that actually got in a crash, dude. He actually got in a crash, crashed his car, and they tracked it to two wearing a N95 mask for too long. He actually went unconscious, crashed his car. We're out of time. Thanks for the call, dude. Nice call. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live primetime April 30th. Back Saturday. See you then. Good night.